We've been called many things. Two peas in a pod.
Thelma and Louise.
Best friends.
Thing one and thing two.
And a good number of times, even sisters. But the one we love the most is mother and daughter. And that's the tea.
What's the tea, Nina?
Is that's the tea. That's the tea.
But I don't get it.
Never mind. I'll explain it later. Welcome to Real Talk with Deb and Nia.
As a friendly reminder, you can find our episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts.
So make sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss out.
Hello, and welcome to Real Talk with Deb and Nia. I'm Deb.
And I'm Nia.
And we are so glad that you're joining us for what we feel is a very beneficial conversation, especially today. Stress seems to be situation normal these days, from pandemic-related stressors to our own life stress-inducing situations. Few of us have escaped the emotional net effect of living life in these times. So in short, many of us are anxious from time to time. And while our anxiety is a normal reaction to stress, for some people, it can become a chronic paralyzing condition, which could be categorized as an anxiety disorder. And so that's a condition that causes repeated unnecessary fear or worry. And in our research, we discovered that there are more than 20 types of anxiety disorders, each characterized by different symptoms and exhibiting different patterns of transmission. So unlike normal anxiety, which helps you respond to a situation and prepare for it, anxiety disorders hold you in a state of constant alarm. They're the result of a psychological stress in which your brain struggles to cope with overwhelming stress. They also arise as a result of a dysregulation of the nervous system, which is essentially how our body reacts to stress.
And so obviously just letting go of stress is probably pretty unrealistic.
It has been for us.
Yeah. However, we thought it would be a great conversation to have about releasing some of the anxiety around our fears and stressors. So we asked today's guest to join us for a chat about how we can better manage some of our stress responses. So today we are welcoming to the tea table, Julie Reynolds. A little bit about Julie. For 15 years, Julie worked as an elementary school teacher and counselor while also building her private practice. She's helped hundreds of children who suffer from anxiety. Learning through story, also known as bibliotherapy, is a great way to teach kids how to cope with their anxiety. Julie is passionate about normalizing mental health and helping as many children and family as possible live their best life. She received her undergraduate degree from the University of Michigan and her master's in school counseling with postgraduate certification as a licensed professional counselor from the George Washington University. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you so much for having me here. I appreciate it.
Oh, we're so glad to have you. And there's so many things, like even in your bio, you've got the working with the kids. Yeah, you're also a licensed professional counselor. So for those that don't know that, think therapist. And you've got a children's book. And so this anxiety goes kind of runs the gamut. But how did you come to really kind of concentrate on anxiety? Because there are a lot of other things within that whole mental health arena. How did you come to that?
Well, I mean, I help kids and families and adults with everything, but anxiety seems to be the most prevalent and the most common. And so it's something that I, you know, especially working in the schools, when you peel back a lot of the layers that kids are having, you know, whether it be school refusal or it could be subject refusal, it could be pulling their hair, sometimes bullying, sometimes crying. A lot of the times what you're seeing is you're seeing kids that are actually really anxious and they're just acting out in certain ways. And so it kind of became a passion of mine to help all mental health aspects, you know, help all families with their mental health aspects. But anxiety seemed to be the most common where, you know, kids would be coming to me and talking to me, or parents would be coming to talking to me as well. And so it kind of grew from there and became a little bit more of a passion when I started to do more research and everything as well.
Okay, so let's talk about, because we, in our intro, we talked about anxiety. We are obviously not experts. You just play some on TV. No. We are not experts. I don't know. I don't think that either of us has what would be an anxiety condition, but we're certainly, there are times that we are anxious. Sure. And we have so much going on in our lives that brings up, you know, a lot of stressors, and we're living in a stressful world right about now. How do we know what anxiety is? And what, and if you could tell us the difference between this garden variety anxiety and something that we may need to look at more closely, you know, have a professional help us with.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Anxiety is a normal emotion that we all have, right? It's our body's way of protecting us from fight or flight. It's our body's way of saying danger, 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 warning, right? So we all have that at times, and we all feel sometimes, like you said, like the stressors, and those stressors make us anxious. Like, that's all very normal. What isn't normal is when anxiety becomes what I like to say a little bit more debilitating, when it's stopping you from doing things that you would want to be doing because you can't get past the anxiety, right? And that's when it becomes a, okay, this is a little bit more serious. So what I described in my kids' book, and the way that I describe it to kids, is it's almost like a fire alarm. We have fire alarms because they're there to protect us, and they're an amazing tool that's there for us when we need it, right? What happens with anxiety is it's that fire alarm is malfunctioning and it's going off all the time. And it's constantly ringing throughout your body saying, oh my God, I'm feeling so anxious. My heart is racing. I'm sweating. I'm, you know, like, I feel like I'm going to pass out. I feel like I'm having a heart attack. That's a malfunction alarm system. And that's when you know that this is not normal. That is not the way that you need to be living. And that's when you start to seek the help. Because what I can say is, you don't need to live with anxiety. Anxiety is treatable, whether it be meds, whether it be psychotherapy, whether it be a combination of both. We have the abilities to calm our nervous system down, to rewire that alarm system so that it's not going off all the time.
So what are the things that make us anxious?
Everybody is so different. And that's the hard thing, right? So for some people, it's going out in public makes us anxious. For some, it's taking a test. For some, it's flying. You know, I've worked with a lot of clients who are, you know, have a fear of flying, have a fear of giving up control. Everybody experiences it a little bit differently. PTSD is a form of anxiety, you know? And so, There's no one way to describe somebody who has anxiety, and there's, you know, it runs the entire gamut.
Ooh. Okay, you were saying it's like the fire alarm going off, but how else does it manifest in our thinking and behavior? Like, how do we really recognize, because I would imagine it exists on a spectrum as well. How do we recognize whether we're in that space where, you know what, this is beyond, I'm just really stressed all the time, and I'm really in an anxiety state. Yeah, it's more debilitating.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, and I personally, I don't suffer with anxiety either. You know, I'm able to help treat you in your anxiety, but I don't personally suffer with it myself either. What I can say is, people that know when it's that bad, like, they know they're having like a panic attack, an anxiety attack, their breathing might be labored, their heart might be racing, their palms might be sweaty. Like, they are so fearful that they cannot get their body to take the steps necessary in order to do whatever it is that they need to be doing, because the fear is so real in them, whether it's a real fear or if it's imaginary fear.
What would stop people from getting help? You know, I think we hear a lot lately about destigmatizing mental health issues.
Yeah.
Is there really that much stigma? It's not our personal life experience. Is that real as you know it? Is there a lot of stigma associated with it?
I think it's gotten better. Absolutely. I think it's talked about more. You know, somebody asked me the other day, do we think that we're more anxious, or is it that we're just recognizing the signs more, because we are more, you know, aware of mental health, and it has become more of the social norm. And I think it's a little bit of both. I think that we've come a really long way in terms of demystifying the stigma of mental health, and that it really does affect more people than you realize. But I also think that we have a long way to go as well. And so I think the idea of therapy means that, oh my God, I messed up. I need a therapist, right? Where that's where we need to normalize. No, just like if you went to the doctor and you had strep throat, of course you would go and listen to the doctor. If your throat was hurting and they diagnosed you with strep throat, you would go and you would take the prescription that was needed. Well, the same thing is with anxiety or any mental health disorder, right? We have doctors, we have therapists that can help us overcome. Doesn't necessarily need to be the medicinal route, but we have tools and strategies and ways to rewire our brains to make us feel and live our best lives. And that's where the stigma needs to, you know, continue to focus, because there is a negative stigma for sure on, you know, on therapists and, oh my God, I'm broken, there's something wrong with me mentality for sure. Or I don't need that. I'm better than that.
Does that come from childhood as well? Like, are we picking it up that early in terms of, oh gosh, I can't show up in this way and step out into the world like that?
I think, listen, we are a product of our environments. I think everything influences us, right? So whether it be something a grandma said, an aunt said, a friend said to you, right? Like those little things that we don't think are a big deal, you know, like somebody just said it off the cuff and you know what I'm talking about. And you're like, it hits you and then it sticks with you for like the rest of your life. And you're like, oh, that's, you know, she needs a shrink. She's messed up. And so you take that, what would be like a benign, innocent comment, and that sticks with you. And then you're like, oh my God, I'm messed up. I need that shrink. Oh my God. So there's this negative connotation, you know, through social media, through media and in general. And so we take it with us as well. So I feel like it could happen from anywhere.
So speaking of our kids, I mean, how much are they suffering these anxiety things? I have to share, when Nia was little, she was three, she was in a preschool and she loved it. And oh my gosh, it was an amazing place. I loved it. She loved it. And Nia was also never sick. She's never had a cold, never had, like, just never been sick. So here we are. She starts telling me she doesn't feel well before going to preschool, which she only went to like 3 hours, 2 days a week. And she was starting to get sick only on those days. And then she'd have a miraculous healing after I, you know, said, oh, she won't be there for the 3 hours that she was going to be there. And so the third time I looked at her and I said, okay, so what's going on? And that's when she spilled the beans and said she was being bullied. Three. I was devastated. And it wasn't even really bad bullying. It was like 3-year-old bullying. But for her, it was enough to make her sick. It was things like, don't play with her. You know, don't let her sit there. Just, you know, mean little things, but you never expect that of 3-year-olds, because it was a class of 3-year-olds. But that was stressing her to the point where she had never seen anybody say, I don't feel well and I'm not going. She had no knowledge that that's how you get out of things. She had to really be feeling that way until she didn't have to go. And I'm guessing that that was creating anxiety, didn't create a disorder for her, but that anxiety, and who knows what would have happened if I had insisted on having her move into the space and she didn't have the tools to work with. I mean, you know, we ended up pulling. Is that what it's like for kids who are in environments like that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that story is a perfect example of a kid who's, whether it be bullying, whether it be whatever, you know, I had a little girl, I remember I worked with her once and she got stung by a bee and all of a sudden she didn't want to go outside anymore. It became this like anxiety driven, what you think is something little. People get stung by the bees all the time. They want to go out and play. It doesn't make a difference, right? But for whatever reason, that event got stuck in her head, right? It's one of those things. It's for everybody, it's different. What happens is our amygdala, which is the part of our brain that's fight or flight, we have what we call a trauma, right? And so whether it's stung by a bee, whether it's being bullied, whatever it is, and it gets stuck there and it's not getting pushed into our working memory. And so the idea is that trauma is still staying there because it's raw and we're still feeling it, right? And so the anxiety, you know, for Mia, it was great. She was able to like overcome it. You were able to solve those problems. You're able to kind of investigate and figure out, okay, what is going on? I'm seeing a pattern over here. Of course, she wasn't making it up at three to know like, oh, okay, if I just refuse to go to school, but her body's way was probably a stomach ache, which is a lot of times you hear kids say, right? Like, my stomach hurts because we feel it in our bellies, or I have a headache, or like, you know, for adults, I get asked all the time, I feel like I'm having a heart attack. Is that normal? Yes. All of those things can be signs of anxiety, because what happens is our body starts to experience the anxiety. So it's not that Mia didn't have a stomach ache. Of course she had a stomach ache, but the stomach ache was driven because of the anxiety of going to school. And I like that you brought up that point. That's different than having an anxiety disorder, right? When you've solved the problem, the anxiety went away, right? But what happens a lot of times is what starts out is something small with anxiety, and we keep placating it. We're like, oh, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. I'm going to just stop going. I mean, school is not a good example because you got to send your kids to school unless you homeschool, right? But what happens is adults and as parents is what we want to do is we want to solve the problem. And the way to solve the problem is to say, oh, okay, we're just not going to go and do it. Right? Like that's easy. And what happens is that actually creates more anxiety. So when you are suffering from anxiety, the best thing that you can do is to actually face that anxiety in small little doses head on. Right. So if you have a fear of flying, it's not that you're going to say, I'm never going to step foot on an airplane again. And that's going to solve the anxiety, because what happens is then it's going to manifest into something else. You've got to learn the coping strategies and the coping mechanisms to get yourself on that airplane. Doesn't mean that you're going to be like, oh my God, flying is absolutely amazing, you know, and I love to fly, but it's not going to invoke that same type of anxiety that it used to invoke. But what I see far too often is we just stop doing that one thing that was that first trigger for anxiety, and then it manifests into something else. And now it's two things, and then it's three things. And before you know it, maybe you've got a social anxiety and you don't want to go out in public anymore, you know, and then it becomes a much bigger problem.
So what can we do? What are some tips, tricks, strategies, tools, recommendations? How do we actually begin to affect change in our lives in this area? And what are some tips and tools that?
Sure. No, I mean, that's really good. So one of the things is self-care, right? Self-care is so important that we be taking care of ourselves. I'm a big believer in morning routines. I'm a big believer in positive affirmations because, you know, while positive affirmations actually make us feel good, and it's something that I think we all should be doing anyways, there's actually like scientifically proven processes. It's called cognitive behavioral therapy. It's a type of therapeutic process that therapists use where our thoughts cause our feelings. And so if we can put positive thoughts in our heads, we actually feel better because we are in charge of our thoughts. So a lot of times, like I like to say, I use this example when I'm working with kids a lot, is I'm going to say, pretend that you and I are both taking, Deb, you and I are both taking a math test, right? And you are really good at math. You always get A's in math. And I am awful at math, like to the point where I always get a D on my math test, right? You and I both take the exact same math test and we both get a C, right? Now you're telling yourself, your thought pattern is, so stupid. I'm never going to get into college. Oh my God, I'm such a, you know, this, I'm a failure. And you're feeling awful. What I'm telling myself is, I'm amazing. I got it. I'm so smart. This is incredible. I'm feeling incredible, right? I'm feeling good. I'm feeling smart. The only difference between the two events, we have the exact same event. The only difference is you and I are telling ourselves something different. And that's what's causing our feelings. So our thoughts really do play a role in the way that we feel. And so one of the things that I love is that we have control over our thought patterns. So positive affirmations, while it might seem foo-foo, it's actually scientifically proven that it's going to make you feel better. So there are mantras, there are things that you can be saying to help boost your confidence. I am safe. I am, you know, I am a strong, independent woman, whatever it may be that goes along with your anxiety that's on the positive side of things, and practicing those on the daily. So self-care is super duper important. Meditation, yoga have all been shown to help reduce anxiety and stressors in your life. So making that a part of your daily routine. I'm a big believer in healing your gut. I know we talked a little bit about this before we started this call, but gut health and microbiomes in your stomach, and this is all kind of relatively new research. There's more serotonin, which is your happy hormone, that's made in your stomach than there is in your brain. And so what the new research is showing is there's a very strong correlation between your brain and your gut. So there's something, I can't remember the statistic because I really am bad at math and numbers.
But you don't feel any anxiety around the thought.
I know I'm still smart, right? You know, I'm a mathematician. But it's something like 70% of people that suffer from IBS also suffer from anxiety and depression. And so there's a very strong relationship between the two. And so I'm a big believer. It's one of my missions that I've been working on in terms of, you know, creating a website around the belly and the brain and the access between the two. And so because it's really important to heal your gut, I've heard countless and countless stories of women who have started to an anti-inflammatory diet, so to speak. They've started incorporating clean foods. They've started incorporating pre, pro, postbiotics and all of those things that heal your gut. And what ends up happening, they're like, oh my God, I'm feeling so much better. I'm feeling less anxious. I'm feeling less depressed. And so that's something I'm very passionate about as well. Obviously, there's medication if it's debilitating and you need it. What I will say is a side note, always couple it with therapy, because the idea of the medication is to help get you living, but not be there long term. And so you want to learn the strategies that a therapist can give you to help you overcome your anxiety. And then there's certain little like tips and strategies like I gave inside of the book for children that adults can use as well, right? So there's, you know, deep breathing exercises, there's tapping exercises. If you want to look up EFT, it's emotional freedom technique. It's a tapping exercise that you can do, and you can go watch some YouTube channels on EFT tapping. And that's been known to help calm people down. And, you know, so there's lots of different ways that you can help treat your anxiety, both internally, externally, holistically, through, you know, just creating new lifestyle choices that are going to help you as well.
You have a lot of tips on your, I love your social media because they're quick, can get in there. And I'm looking at it going, well, I don't have the situation, but I know there are times where I'm stressed. Mm-hmm. And there'll be some little thing that I can then do. There was one thing I think I saw with the fingers and tracing your fingers on your hand as you're inhaling and exhaling. It's just something that's kind of fun and funny, but also relaxing in the same way and easy to remember.
Yeah.
Just, I think those are huge. Because if you find yourself in a situation and you can't remember that thing that somebody said you could do to climb out, it's useless for you. Absolutely. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And that's what I say. Practice these things. Practice those simple strategies. I give a ton of strategies over on my TikToks where everybody's just like, oh my God, thank you so much. That helps a ton. But it only helps if it becomes second nature, right? If we practice it when we're not in the moment of having a panic attack or feeling overly anxious, then it's going to become like muscle memory. We're going to be able to pull it out like, oh, okay, I got to practice my breathing techniques, you know? And the strategies that you would use from, you know, to help you with a panic attack or, you know, having, you know, suffering from an anxiety attack or whatever it may be, are the same things that you can use, like you said, Deb, when you're feeling just stressed. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to help just calm your nervous system. It's going to help activate your parasympathetic nervous system, which is the nervous system that just kind of helps calm you down. And so that's all what the strategies are, you know, is just ways to like kind of bring us back into that present moment and bring us and ground us.
That's so helpful. So tell us about the book, because now we're in your book, you're talking about children and this anxiety. And there's a story. Well, I'll let you tell the story. I love the book. Here's what I love about the book. I loved the book. I love the illustrations. I love that the illustrations were done by your daughter, because we've got that mommy daughter thing going too. Since it was for children, to have children have such a key role in that, I thought that was so neat. And as a child, I think as a child with anxiety, I'm looking at a book written by a therapist, yay, but it was illustrated by another kid. Like, I could relate to that. It looks like something that's familiar with me, a picture that I could have drawn or that I wish I could draw, but there's so many ways to engage them. So I think there were a lot of really neat decisions made about the book. But tell us a little bit about what's happening in that book. And again, why a kid that's anxious, why should I get them that book?
No, absolutely. So the book is called The Warrior Backpack. And it's the first of a series that's coming out. We have our second book launching in the next week or so. But basically, it's about a little boy. His name is Alex, and he is struggling to go to school in the morning. So he wakes up, probably something that if you've got anxious kids, you've heard before, like Mia, right? Where it was like, my stomach hurts, I can't go to school. And throughout the day, obviously, mom gets him on the bus, but they pull out of this imaginary backpack that he's wearing small little tips that he can use throughout the day to help him overcome his anxiety. So it's four strategies that he used throughout the day. It doesn't need to be school. It could be everyday life, sports, whatever it may be that your kid is going through. The setting just happens to be, you know, in the school. And so throughout the day, at times where it's very common, because I've worked in the schools for 15 years, right? Very common for kids to get anxious, whether it be the lunchroom or recess or in the middle of taking a test. So it was all very like planned out based on what I've seen him working in the schools. It's, you know, four strategies that he can kind of pull out of his imaginary backpack to help him get through those anxious feelings that he's having. And like you said, the best part of the book is, in my opinion, is that my daughters were the illustrators of it. And I am like a proud mama. It was like a proud mama moment for me. My daughter, we have an entrepreneurial spirit. I'm no longer working in the schools. But teaching my kids about entrepreneurship and royalties and what it means to start something and make sure that it's completed to its entirety, you know, and having deadlines and all of those things, because I instilled some deadlines on it. Otherwise, I don't know if it would ever get done. So it's been a family project. And so it's really, really fun. My 11-year-old, she was then 10 at the time, she's the main illustrator of the book, and she's beyond talented. Like, there's no way I could even draw. I wouldn't even attempt to draw what she drew in the book. But my 9-year-old was like, well, I want to draw it too. And she's not quite there yet with the stamina in terms of being able to be disciplined enough, right? Mm-hmm. It's, you know, not age appropriate for her to be able to do that. And so she took and hid a little image in each picture. And so it's kind of like one of those things where you have to go and find the image. And the next book that we have coming out in a week or so, it's called Bella Has the Blues. And it's going to talk about not anxiety, but again, same, very similar strategies that you can use when we're feeling sad, and some strategies that you can kind of pull out of your imaginary backpack to use throughout the day.
So now sadness would be different than anxiety, and sadness is also, like, we all have that. All of us.
All of us. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm really trying to target this whole like mental health piece for kids, normalize it, give them strategies that they can use. There's tools in the book for parents so that they know how to help their kids with anxiety. So like in the back of the anxiety book, the strategies are listed, they're broken down for them so that they understand how to exactly use them. And then there's a parent guide on, you know, how to best help our kids. Same thing within the children's book as well, Bella Has the Blues. It talks about the difference between sadness and depression, what to look for, and then again, breaks down the strategies so that they're easy to help their kids understand and use and practice before the actual event, and so that it's easy for them to pull out of their backpack, so to speak, when they're ready.
What's great, because what is that? Bibliotherapy? I forgot what it's called now. Where it's teaching through story.
Bibliotherapy. Yeah.
Bibliotherapy. Okay. Well, I knew it, but I didn't remember it.
Biblioeducation.
Well, no, and I love story. I'm a story coach. So the whole story piece is very powerful. So even if our children, whether our children are or aren't, I think I would have had stories like that for Nia anyway, because I'm trying to really
you did. It just wasn't for anxiety.
Her emotional landscape.
You used a lot of story.
I did. I did. So it doesn't matter whether your child is or isn't. And sometimes you don't know till your child goes there.
Right.
And that's what's, you know, that's what's happening.
And that's the truth. I mean, I've talked to so many adults and they've said to me, they said, you know what? I've had anxiety my whole life. We just didn't know that that's what it was. You know, I didn't know, but now that I'm older and anxiety and, you know, mental health has become much more of the norm and socially accepted. And they start to do the research. They're like, I felt this way my entire life. I just didn't have a label for it.
Maybe it is more the norm than anything else. And we're, because we didn't recognize it or have something, we're not understanding that there are just some things we need coping strategies around because we don't understand our body and how it's working. And there's so much more happening today than was happening when, like, the world was simpler. Times were simpler. So I imagine we'll just see more of it. You add more pressure to the system, you start to hit people's limits.
Sorry, that was my chair and then it sets off my dog because, you know, your chair is going to set off your dog, of course. And that's the thing is I think the next pandemic that nobody's really highlighting is the mental health pandemic that has happened and transpired because of what we've gone through and experienced over the last several years. And, you know, suicide rates are on the rise. Kids' mental health is obviously soared as they've been out of school. They've been, quarantined and away from their social situations. And so there's a lot of healing as a society, you know, globally that we need to do to help both adults and children alike.
Yeah, we've all experienced trauma, period. Everyone. No one escaped now.
No.
We're all in the same boat. So hopefully things like this really help. Now, you said you also have something for women. The book is for children and us mommies and dads that want to have those conversations enter our children's world in a really effective way. But you have something for women as well, a website.
I do. I have a website called bellybrain.org, and it talks about all things, like I kind of mentioned, the mental health piece, how to make ourselves feel our best selves. Because realistically, as women and as moms, if we're not feeling good and we're not taking care of ourselves, inadvertently, our children are suffering, right? And so I always like to say the captain of the ship cannot go down. And if the captain of the ship is going down, then everybody is sinking. And so I've started a website that's for women on how to take care of ourselves, how to live our best lives. And again, like I said, kind of that brain gut connection, how to heal ourselves through exercise, meditations, those things that we talked about a little bit earlier. And I've launched a website called bellybrain.org, and I'm really excited about it.
Well, that's exciting. Mm-hmm. That's exciting.
What do you think is the biggest thing we need to release or let go of within this like area that will allow us to live more vibrantly and live that life that we really want to live?
And for people, is that what you mean? Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, here's the thing is I like to say when you're feeling depressed, you're living in the past. When you're feeling anxious, you're living in the future. Right? What could happen? What might happen? In the past, it's like, oh my God, this has happened to me. Where we really want to live right now is in the present. That's the gift, right? And so the biggest thing that we can do is to really try to be mindful, really try to live in that present moment. And I know that it's hard, but again, we're in charge of our thoughts based on my math example. And so it's really, you know, it's one of those things where you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to stop. I'm going to put a hard stop to this thought process that I'm having right now, and being aware of it and being like, okay, I'm going to come back to this present moment right here, right now. And so I think that that's really important. That's something that we all need to do to heal, is to focus on right here, right now, and knowing that we're safe, knowing that we're healthy at this moment, knowing that what do we know? What are the true statements that we know? Not what we think might happen, not what we are nervous might happen, but what do we know to be true right now? And really focusing on that, you know, present moment.
Oh, I like that. Yes. Mm-hmm. So living in that right now moment, releasing attachment to what happened before, and not worrying about what hasn't happened, 90 some percent of which never happens anyway. So there's a time saver, but just right. So being present in this moment is where our power is. That's what I'm hearing you say. So yeah,
I like that.
Let go and live.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. And here's the thing, if you're living in the present moment, you're going to be able to live because you're focusing on what do we know is true right now? You know, like that's mm-hmm. what we focus on. And that's what I work with my clients on. Like, what do we know is true right now at this moment? At this moment, we know that we are safe. We know that we are fed. We know that, you know, we haven't died. Like we said, we have 100% success rate of overcoming things that have happened in our lives. Like you have succeeded 100% of the time to any challenge that you have faced. Without a doubt, if you are listening to this right now, you have succeeded 100% of all of your obstacles that you have faced in your life.
We don't think about it that way. Mm-hmm. We talk about failure all the time and, oh, I didn't do this. I didn't. But 100% of the time, you made it through.
Yeah.
We're all winning all the time.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And it's just about changing that thought pattern. And I saw it in your face, Deb. You're like, oh my God, you know, because I can see you. But did you see what happened when you reframed that? Did you see what happened to your body? You know, the somatic aspects of your body, like you became happy. There was a smile on your face. Like those are the thought, wow. I'm a warrior. I am 100% success story, you know? And so when we have that ability to live in that present moment, think about what we do know to be the truth, the real truth, not our perceived truth, but the real truth, we have the ability to really, you know, start to overcome and start to live our best life.
I love it. I love it. Do you have anything do you have anything that we didn't cover that you think is really important? I don't know how you eclipse, like we have 100% success rate. I don't know where you go after that. It's like, we're winning. Woo-hoo.
You know,
yeah, that's what Nate said. Mic drop. Yes.
The mic drop. I got to go make a TikTok on that one. Right. Now, the only thing that I want to say, you know, obviously before we close this up is if you are struggling, I want you to remember a few things. You're not alone. Okay. And you don't need to go through this alone. And so there is help out there for you. One of the websites that I love and recommend is Psychology Today. You can go on that website. It will link you to therapists in your area and you can get the help that you need. You are your own advocate for yourself. There's nobody else, especially us moms, there's nobody else that's going to advocate for ourselves like we can or like we will. And so you don't need to suffer in anxious feelings, depression, whatever it may be, any mental health disorder, there is help there for you. And so I want to really reiterate that. I feel like, you know, I used to say when I used to tutor kids and I was like, well, it's a win-win for everybody, let's be honest, right? It's a win for the tutor because they're getting paid the extra money that we know teachers don't get paid. Mm-hmm. It's a win for the kid because anybody that gets one-on-one attention is going to be successful and learn, you know. It's a win for the mom or the dad that's paying for it because the fighting has stopped because they're not in charge anymore. And the same thing is for therapy. It's a win-win for everybody, because what happens is, and I really truly believe this, I feel like everybody benefits from therapy, whether you have a severe anxiety disorder, mental health disorder, or you just need somebody to talk to. It just feels good to know that you've got a neutral source and somebody that can hear you talk, you know, and listen to you and help solve some of the issues that you're having and give you some coping strategies to deal with it.
Oh yeah, that's excellent. That's excellent. Yeah. We did that. We did therapy with my mom for like the 5 years that she was here. And it was so beneficial. And because we did a lot, sometimes we were there together, other things came up that, and it was a safe space as well for us to have conversations that were not only beneficial. I just feel like, considering she was only going to be here 5 years, so much was resolved because we had a great relationship, but you know, no one has a perfect one. So as things were coming up, we had Teresa was our therapist and we adore her. So there's a shout out there. And I think it was a game changer in many ways. It helped us get through it. It helped us understand. She was even, and again, like you said, you know, it's a neutral person, yet if you choose the right practitioner, you also feel like you gained someone's in your corner as well. They're not always agreeing with you, but they're not always disagreeing with you, but they're bringing to bear some other skills and strategies that you don't have. So I'm a big advocate. There's a stigma associated with that, you know, too. So hopefully we've done a little bit to destigmatize that. It's been amazing. It was amazing for us.
No, it really is. And it's, like I said, it's those little things that you don't even realize that can be those big moments. I'm realizing it as a parent myself. You know, I don't mind sharing the story. You know, my daughters, I'm a mom and I get two daughters and sometimes they drive me bananas, you know, and there was one
time. Julie, that doesn't happen to any of the rest of us. What are you doing wrong, my friend?
And one of the times I was like, okay, I'm out. Mommy's out. I think it was during the pandemic. I was like losing my mind, you know, and I was like, I'm taking my own personal time out. I'm leaving. I will be back. Well, what is something benign in my book, leaving so that I don't lose my cool with my kids, it now has come out. My daughter's like, you left us. And I was like, I left you? What do you mean? And she's like, you left. And I was like, honey, I told you. And she's like, I didn't think you were coming back. And so this little thing that we've been able to talk through. And so it's just these little things that you don't even realize. I still don't think personally I did anything wrong, but for her, it felt like abandonment. And so it's important as parents that we realize these things and, okay, you know, I will learn a different coping strategy because certainly I do not want you to ever feel that I've abandoned you. But, and then my youngest, she didn't think twice about it. You know what I mean? It is not. And so it's these little things where everybody gets stuck and you don't know what it is. And it might have been benign or innocent, and you might not think twice about it, but for whatever reason, it gets stuck in their amygdala and they have a sort of trauma. And I use the word trauma loosely, you know, and it gets stuck and we just don't know.
We had that.
You went on a girls trip.
No, it wasn't girl. I was the only girl.
No, there was a trip you went on with like a friend. When I say trip, it's not like you went to Mexico, but like you did like a girl's date. And I was like, you left me.
Oh, yeah. I was just gone for the day.
Yeah.
But I did used to go once a year because, again, I was home all the time. And I also homeschooled. And there was no days off, no time off for good behavior, and no substitutes that I could call in for anything. So I was the lunch lady, the engineer. Like it was a lot, you know.
You were the principal, the lunch lady, the teacher, the janitor. You were all of it.
Curriculum specialist. Like it was everything. And the counselor, and she said to me, you know, it was hard because having me be everything, just everything, because there are times that she just wanted mom. But so once a year, I would take a week and I wouldn't go far. It's kind of like camping in your backyard kind of thing. But at first I called it Mommy Runaway. And it's funny what you call something. And she was traumatized by that. And she said, why are you running away from me? And I said, oh no, honey, I'm running away for me. So then I changed it to
Mommy Getaway.
It wasn't a getaway. No, just Mommy Refreshment. And so it was closer to what it was, though I like the idea of running away. But Refreshment was really closer to what it was. Sorry, kids. it was that. And it became... just the whole thing became healthier, just like that, just like you transmuted everything about like, oh, 100% success rate. I said Mommy Refreshment rather than Runaway, and it kind of changed it. I don't, you know, as you were saying, well, maybe, you know, we'll kind of do something different. No, we need to be able to leave if we need to. I did not do that. And I had a evaluator say to me, listen, you need some time for you. I'm not good at self-care. You need some time for you. And I want you to do it. That's what it took to actually get me to take this. And I was saying to her, there's a place in the Bible. I'm a Proverbs 31 woman. And, you know, she's up here doing this. And she said, my dear, she had servants. And then it clicked for me. Like, you know, you're looking at something one way that it's a have to. It was a super mom. And that was the beginning of me kind of going, oh, wait, I matter too. So if getting away to a friend.
No, I get away. Don't get me wrong. I get away, but it's more of not in the heat of my anger to take a, you know what I mean? It was.
Oh, I take a break too. Like
I'm going to lose my ish, if you know what I mean. And mm-hmm. I got to leave. So now I got to find maybe some of those breathing exercises, some of the tapping exercises.
Following the finger, guys.
Instead of taking my own personal time out outside of the house, because that to her, and we've had those conversations, and you know, mommy will never leave you. I will mm-hmm. always be here, you know, like if I'm leaving because I'm angry, I will come back, you know, I promise. But it's, you know, it just kind of goes back to, we never know. We never mm-hmm. know. Something little, and I think probably everybody listening to this can understand, it's one little comment that can stick with you, yep. that can change so everything. Much of your views, the way that you think, the way that you, you know, do things in life, and you can trace it back to like this one little comment that just stuck for whatever reason. Our minds, our mm-hmm. brains are crazy. That pathway was developed, you know, and it's just what it is, unfortunately.
Well, hopefully those affirmations kind of get in there and just even asking the question, is that true? Exactly. As you said, is that the truth? What do we know that's really true? Starts to change that. It starts to allow us to have a different thought. So this was awesome.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you
for joining us. And thank you for sharing all your wisdom and all of your tips and strategies.
For kids and adults. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I learned a lot. I learned a lot. I've got some things to spread. You know, after we do a show that where I'm learning stuff, people go, oh, this is the conversation for the week, because I'm spreading it everywhere. Because it's, you know, you're thinking about it. It's on your mind, and therefore it's on my lips. And I hope that people also take what they hear here and spread it around, because we all know someone, or we are that someone.
Exactly.
You know. And so, and information is power. It really is. So thank you for your contribution to the conversation and to the breadth of information and knowledge and that's out there that we can now consume and share as well. So thank you.
And thank you to our audience for joining us once again. Again, if you want to learn more about anxiety and find some practical supportive info, you can find Julie's website at www.bellybrain.org. She can also be found on social media. She's prolific on TikTok. She's kind of our aspiration for our TikTok.
I'm like, look at her. Yeah, like, that's so cool.
Yeah. We get like inspirations. But she has, as mom has mentioned, she has wonderful, quick little, you know, tips and strategies for how to deal with different situations in which anxiety is the focus point. She also has a YouTube channel, and it's called The Anxiety Channel. Is that correct? Belly Brain. Okay. So, but yeah, I said it wrong, but it will be correctly. It'll be written correctly on the website.
Yeah, we'll have it on our website. Yes.
So we'll have all of it, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube on the website. So make sure to check it out. And also make sure to follow us at Real Talk DN. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and eventually TikTok.
Well, we have the account. We just haven't been active yet.
It's a blank canvas. So if anybody has any ideas about what they want, goofy stuff they want to see us do, send them in.
This is Nia's desire. Mom being dragged. Okay. So yes, but we're open. We're open.
We're open.
Yeah.
Open to receiving. So anyway, thank you so much again. And we shall see you next time.
Real Talk with Deb and Nia can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and on Google Podcast. You can also check out our YouTube channel.
And make sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Real Talk DN.
See you next time.